I want to take a moment this morning and I want to speak and say a very frank word to all the dads in the room today. I am taking a little break from my preaching through 2 Timothy. And so today it'll be a different passage of scripture. Just talking to dads today, and this is a little bit unusual for me. I don't always do this on Father's Day. I don't always preach a special message for mothers on Mother's Day, but I'm doing it this year. That's just not the way I roll sometimes. But if you came to the service this morning thinking that you were going to hear kind of a combination between Charles Stanley and Dr. Phil and maybe a little Joel Osteen thrown in, that's not me, all right? That's just not me. So we are going to look at a passage of scripture in the book of Deuteronomy. So turn there, if you will, and find Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I'm going to read a passage of scripture in just a moment. But I want to say a few things that will help to kind of set this up for us today in a sermon that I have called How to Leave a Godly Legacy. And I'm speaking to dads because today is Father's Day. I don't know if you're aware of this, but typically in most churches, Father's Day is one of the lowest attendance of the church all year long. Father's Day. Father's Day is oftentimes, I mean, it's right down there with Memorial Day and Labor Day. Father's Day is not typically a high attendance day in churches. Conversely, Mother's Day, ladies, it's one of the highest attendance days of the entire year for the church. It's right up there with Easter Sunday, and in most churches, Mother's Day falls right behind Easter as far as attendance. West Side, we're a little bit different than that because most of the time, ours is Easter Sunday followed by Super Sunday, and then Mother's Day, but it's right up there in the top. And so when you think about that, Father's Day is one of the lowest attendances of the year. Mother's Day is one of the highest attendances of the year. It just kind of lets us know that this political correctness garbage that we're oftentimes given that talks about how men and women are alike, they're not. They're not. We're not alike. And we see it even in these special days. It kind of lets us know that women, and this is just an observation, all right? Women are most likely more interested in spiritual things than what men are interested in spiritual things. I mean, I think one of the reasons why, women are more interested in, they believe in God, they believe in prayer, they're more likely to go to an extra Bible study if there's one being offered, prayer meeting, that sort of thing. They're interested in that. Men on the other side, they're less likely to go to church or less likely to attend a Bible study. And so that's why I think when it comes to Mother's Day, why that's such a big day is because when the children go to mom and they say, Mom, what do you want to do on Mother's Day? It's not unusual for mom to say, well, really, I'd just like for y'all to go to church with me on Mother's Day. I hear that a lot. Dad, on the other hand, Dad, it's Father's Day. What would you like to do on Father's Day? Well, I kind of like to go fishing. I kind of like to go play around the golf. Or I just kind of like to sleep in, get up late, go somewhere and eat some brunch so I can beat the church crowd to the restaurant. That's man's thinking oftentimes. But I want to tell our men today, your influence in your family is huge. It is absolutely crucial that you be a man who's different than the normal man, that you be a man of God, and that you have a godly influence in your family, not only on your wife, but also on the children that are in your home. How important is dad? I want to share some numbers with you today, and I don't have these on the screen. If somebody would say later on, I'd like to have those, I'll get them to you, but I did not want to put them on the screen because I wanted you to hear them more than read them. So I want to tell you how important dad is. 63% of youth suicides come from fatherless homes. 90% of runaway children come from fatherless homes. 85% of children with behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 75% of adolescent chemical abuse patients in drug treatment centers come from fatherless homes. 85% of children in prison come from fatherless homes. I would say to you today, Dad, you're pretty important. And it's pretty important that you be in that home and be that godly man. Let me tell you another sidebar to that. And this kind of blew me away when I heard it. If mom brings the children to church on Sunday morning and dad stays home and just does not come, if mom brings the children to church on Sunday, one out of every 50 children will still go to church when they become adults. If dad brings the children to church and mom stays home, 66% of those children will go to church when they become adults. Did I say to you, Dad, you're important? If mom and dad come to church and bring the children, 75% of them will still be going to church when they become adults. And so oftentimes whenever children are small, they look to mom for care and for nurture and tenderness. But as they grow up, when they go to determining their values and what's important to them, they look more to dad than they do to mom. And if dad hasn't been in church, then they're more likely not to be in church either. So, now that I have your attention, I want to read a passage of scripture to you from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want to say some things to you today that I'm hoping and praying will not only be beneficial to dads, but also to all others that are in the room today. Because really, what I'm saying to you today, I think could be applied to parents. This is the job of parents that I'm going to be talking about. Deuteronomy, an Old Testament book, not far into your Old Testament. Chapter 6, I want to read verses 4 through 9. I'm going to ask you to join me in standing as I read this text today. Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'm picking up in verse 4. The author is Moses, and he says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." And I'm stop right there, and I'm going to suggest to you right now that if you will look at these verses of Scripture and if you will apply them to your lives, this will help you to leave a godly legacy. Would you pray with me, please? Father, today I thank you for your presence in this room. I thank you for this moment right now. I pray, God, that there will be an openness in our hearts and in our ears to hear what you have to say. And Lord, I am especially going to pray for dads in this room today. God, I pray that as you challenge my heart through these verses and these words, I pray that you will challenge the heart of every man in the room today. And Lord, I pray that as we walk out of these doors in just a few minutes, that in our heart of hearts that we'll be saying, I want to be the kind of man, or I want to be the kind of parent, or I want to be the kind of person who's going to leave a godly legacy. So Lord, speak to us through your word today, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and the verses I've read, verses 4 through 9, may be very familiar to you. They are words that are commonly called the Shema or the Shema, and it is a word that the Jewish people were very familiar with. I mean, it may have been the most familiar passage of Scripture in their Bible, and they would repeat it oftentimes during the day. It is actually the word Shema or Shema is a word that means to hear or to listen. But it means more than just to hear or to listen. It means to respond and to obey. My text begins with these words, "Hear, O Israel." And that little phrase is found six times in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verse 1. Twice here in chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, chapter 9, verse 1, chapter 20, verse 3, and chapter 27, verse 9. And so whenever the writer of Hebrews, Moses, is writing off, the writer of Deuteronomy, as he writes, he says six times in it, "Hear, O Israel." It is a constant reminder to say, are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Listen, he said, "Hear, O Israel." I would ask you today, are you listening? "Hear, O West Side," would be a translation, I guess. And so Moses begins with a very simple, profound statement when he says, "The Lord our God is one Lord." I don't have time to spend there a lot. I'll just simply say to you what that means is there is only one God, and Yahweh is his name. Amen. The God of the Bible is the only God. In the context of what Moses is writing, the Canaanite people, they had many gods, and that's a lowercase g, all right? They had many gods. And Moses was saying to the Israelites, there is only one God, and Yahweh is his name. And so the truth of there being one God, if we had more time today, that needs to be explained. That needs to also be expounded upon. That is something that needs to be preached in our pluralistic society today that seems to believe in many gods. The Word of God says there is one God. And the New Testament equivalent of Yahweh is Jesus. Jesus is God. And so it begins by that, and then he builds on top of this that you and I hopefully would say and would agree that there is one God and Yahweh is his name. Whenever you read verses, the following verses, there are two things I want to lay on your heart today that will help you to leave a godly legacy. And very simply put, these are the two things that Moses says I will encourage you today. Number one, you need to love the Lord. And number two, you need to love the Word. Love the Lord and love the Word. So let's first of all look at you must love the Lord there in verse 5. He says, as he writes, he says, you should love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Let's just break that down for a little bit. First of all, he says you must love the Lord your God with all your heart. I think what he's saying there is you should love God sincerely. Hear the word I'm using. You should love God sincerely. And the word heart there, of course, is not referring to that organism in your body that is beating and spreading blood through your body. The word there is really talking about the core of who you are at your heart. And so when he says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, what he was saying was love God love him emotionally, love him enthusiastically, love him completely, love God with everything that you are. Proverbs says in chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Joel, the Old Testament minor prophet, said in chapter 2, verse 12, turn ye even to me with all your heart. So the all your heart means that you give everything that you have, that you love God with everything that you are. And by the way, whenever you love something with all your heart, it shows. You can't love something or someone with all your heart without it showing. And by the way, Dad, your kids know what you love. And the reason why they know what you love is because you demonstrate it by things that you do and things that you say. They know what you love. They know that you love college football. They know that you love Major League Baseball. They know that you love going to the golf course. They know you love going to the fishing hole or going hunting somewhere. Why do they know that you love those things? Because you do it emotionally, enthusiastically, completely. You're always talking about it, and it's something that just kind of is an important part of the core of your life. So here's the question. Do your kids know that you love Jesus? Do they know that you love Jesus Christ? Do they hear you talk to him? Do they hear you when you pray, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do they know that you love Jesus because you talk about him? Maybe you're talking about him to somebody else, or they hear you talking maybe even to them about him. Do they know that you love Jesus? Here's where we start. I'm going to say to you, if you're going to leave a godly legacy, then your kids need to know that you love God sincerely, that you love him with all your heart. Secondly, he said, you love him with all your soul. And by that, he means that you love God selflessly, that he becomes more important than you or the things that you want to do. He said, love him with all your soul. The soul there refers to your innermost being, who you really are. It translates that little Hebrew word that means self. There was something different about you as a man or a woman. And the Bible says that it's because you have a living soul. You remember Genesis chapter 2, verse 7? And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He's going to live eternally somewhere. Acts chapter 4, verse 32 says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. And so whenever he says, you need to love God, not only sincerely with all your heart, but you need to love him selflessly with your soul as well. And if you're going to love him with your soul, all your soul, then you're going to have to deny yourself from time to time. If you love God, then there's going to be some times that you're going to say to self, you have to set aside, and God, because I love God, I love him with all my soul. There's some things that I'm going to, and by the way, that'll show up on your calendar if you love him with all your soul. That'll show up in your checkbook if you still have one of those things, or in your finances, in your bank account somewhere. It will show up because of the way that you spend your money. And so what he's saying is there will be times that you love God, if you love him with all your soul, that there'll be some things you do and you don't do because you're putting self aside. It's kind of like that day whenever the big game's gonna be on television, but your son or your daughter has a recital at the school at the same time, and you go to the recital rather than doing what you wanted to do and to stay home and watch the big game. That's whenever you're saying, I'm loving my family with all my soul. So the question would be, do you put yourself aside, and do you love God not only with all your heart, but also with all your soul? And then he says this. He said, you must love God with all thy might. And I use the word strongly there. You must love him strongly. And if I could just kind of summarize that for you, what he was saying there is that to love him strongly is talking about action. It's talking about function. That is, it's talking about not just saying, I love God, but demonstrating by your life that you love God. You love him with all your might. You are demonstrating by the things that you do and the things that you don't do that you love God. I was reminded there's an old country song that used to say, it's not enough just to tell her that you love her. If you want her to know, you've got to let it show. Now that's a country song, but that's pretty good theology too. You know, you demonstrate what you love. And the old Christian song says, and they will know we are Christians by our love. That's it. And it is true. I mean, you see this on the sometimes a bumper sticker on a pickup truck, and it'll say something like this: real men love Jesus. I want you to know that's true. And if you're going to leave a godly legacy for your family, then you must love God supremely. And that's what he's saying is, you need to love God more than you love anything else. And you need to love him supremely, enthusiastically, with everything that you are. The number one question that I would ask every dad in the room today is, do you love Jesus? And are you not ashamed to say, I love Jesus? And does your life and your lifestyle demonstrate that you love Jesus? Now, you may love a lot of other stuff, but do you love Jesus with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind? And I used to go to those high school basketball games in a small town. I don't know if any of you grew up in a small town, but there's something good about growing up in a small town and you go to a high school basketball game, and they used to have this cheer whenever I would go to those games. And it'd be, you know, your team's on one side of the basketball court and the other team's on the other side of the basketball court. And the cheerleaders would be down there on the court. And you know what they'd say? They'd say, we've got spirit. Yes, we do. We've got spirit. How about you? Am I preaching over y'all's head right now? And then the fans on the other side would yell back, we've got spirit. Yes, we do. We've got spirit. How about you? Maybe we ought to translate that a little bit today. And we'd say, I love Jesus, yes I do. I love Jesus, how about you? Yes. That's where you start. Because the rest of what I have to say, the rest of what this text has to say, really doesn't make any sense if you don't love Jesus with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. You're going to leave a godly legacy. You need to love the Lord. Secondly, notice this. If you're going to leave a godly legacy, you must also love the Word. Now look at verses 6-9. And I want to spend a little bit of time here today. And here's why I'm using this passage, particularly as we talk about men. To be perfectly honest with you today, I wanted to preach on Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And I'd actually spent some time looking at that, studying that. I've preached on Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, I think 3 or 4 times in 26 years. And I thought, well, maybe I need to do that again. So I went and studied that passage of Scripture. But as I was studying that passage of Scripture, that's whenever the Lord led me to the passage where I am today. And here's what I mean by that. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, this is what it said. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Do you hear it? Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition. Now, you understand why that would be something you'd want to preach on Father's Day, right? Because it's addressed to fathers. But the truth of the matter is, whenever you read the word father there, it actually translates a Greek word that can mean parent. And so, although it's directed there to fathers, and the King James translation says father, it can mean both. But I think there's a reason why, and I think it's a good reason why, it's translated fathers. It's because fathers are the head of the house. And fathers ought to be the spiritual leaders in the house. And so whenever Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, says to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, he was saying this is a dad responsibility. And by the way, sometimes dads have given that over to mom. But I think it's a dad's responsibility to teach the word of God to the children. And so whenever I went to Deuteronomy chapter 6, it was saying to me that when it comes to the verses that we're looking at right now, verses 6 through 9, these are some things that dad ought to do. Dad's the one who ought to teach them the word of God. So look quickly with me at verses 6 through 9. Let me just say a few things to you. If you're going to leave a godly legacy about teaching God's word, here are four things that I want to encourage every dad to do. Number one, look at verse 6. Teach it convincingly. He said, these words shall be in thine heart. And again, the word there is not talking about the heart, the organism of the heart, but it's talking really here about the mind. These words, the word of God, should be in your heart. And I'm using the word that you teach it convincingly. I wanted to use the word convictionally. And I did use the word convictionally, until I found out it wasn't a word. Now, when I wrote it down with my pencil, it went just fine, convictionally. It just wrote right down. But when I typed it on my computer, spell check told me it wasn't a word. My pencil didn't do that, but spell check did. And so I changed it to convincingly. And really, that's what convictions are. Hear what I'm saying. Convictions are things that you are convinced of in your heart. And by the way, we live in a world today, it seems like there's a lot of people don't have many convictions, or some people don't have any convictions. But I'm just going to confess to you today, I have some convictions. I have some convictions about things that are right and things that are wrong, based on the word of God. And so really convictionally or convincingly, and what he's saying here is, what I'm trying to say to you, you cannot teach what you do not know. Listen to me, Dad. You can't teach what you don't know. And let me go one step further. And you cannot pass along what you don't believe. And so if you're going to pass it along to your children, that's why I'm using convincingly and wanted to use convictionally, because you believe it in your heart. There are some things that you ought to believe because you believe, listen to me, that the Bible is the Word of God. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, used to call the Methodist Church, he called them Bible Christians. He probably wouldn't be very happy with what's going on in the Methodist Church today. But what we're saying here is that there are some things that ought to take root in your heart because they're in the Word of God. And so when he says, teach them these words with all thy heart, Psalm 119 verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. And again, I would ask the dads in the room today, do you have some Bible convictions? Do you have some things that you believe are right and some things that you believe are wrong based on the word of God? And you're going to hand those over to your children. You're going to teach them those words because they are in your heart. Teach them convincingly. Secondly, teach the word of God constantly. Again, in verse 7, he says, teach them diligently unto thy children. The word diligently is a word that means repeatedly. There are some things that you just have to repeat over and over again. As a matter of fact, one translation says it like this, repeat them again and again to your children. Listen to me, Dad, and by the way, listen to me, Mom. You can't just say, well, I told them that once. That doesn't work. You have to say it over and over again. If you're going to teach your children the Word of God, you have to repeat it over and over again. And by the way, the media knows that. The media knows that. In case you parents don't know this, the media has targeted your children. And they're saying the same thing to your children over and over again. And if they're watching a television show, they will watch a commercial 21 commercials in 1 hour, and they're going to be told, oftentimes, if you sit there and watch much television, which I hope you don't, but if you watch much television, you know that what I'm saying is true. They're saying the same thing over and over and over again. What are they saying to your kids? They're saying you ought to drink beer, you ought to dress like a slob, you ought to believe homosexuality is normal, and they're saying it over and over again. And if you're going to teach them the Word of God, you have to say it over and over again. And the bad news for the church is we got maybe a couple of hours on Sunday morning to combat that, and then maybe an hour on Wednesday night to combat that. And many, we don't even get that much. And so what that really means is, folks, if you're not teaching them at home, they don't have a chance, because they're being taught things that are not according to the Word of God. You have better believe it in your heart, and you have better say it over and over again. Teach it, I'm saying, convincingly. Teach the Word of God constantly. Thirdly, look at the latter part of verse 7. I'm going to say to you, teach it conversationally. He said, I love this verse. He said, talk with them when thou sittest in thy house, and when you walk in the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Here's what he's saying. As you go through life raising your children day in and day out, look for opportunities every day to steer that conversation toward the Word of God so you can teach your children the Word of God. You're going to have to talk to your kids. How are you going to do it? He said, listen to this. This is eye-opening, if you'll hear what he's saying. He said, teach these things, talk to them when thou sittest in thine house. And whenever he said, sit in thy house, what's he talking about? He's talking about mealtime. Would you tune in for just a moment? He's saying whenever you sit down in your house and you are having a meal together, you need to steer the conversation toward the Word of God at mealtime. That's family time. That's a warm time. That's a great time to learn from the Word of God. So hear what I'm saying to you today. If you're going to do that, turn the television off. And for crying out loud, put the cell phone down. And whenever you sit down at mealtime, look for opportunities to tell them the truths of God's Word. That's what he said. Conversationally, talk to your kids about the Word of God. Secondly, he said, also whenever thou walkest in the way. That is traveling time. That's the way they traveled, right? They would walk. And you know, I said, well, Pastor, we don't walk much around my house anymore. No, but I bet you get in the car quite a bit and you travel that way. So whenever you're traveling and traveling time and you're, I don't know, if you're taking them to school or taking them to the mall or whatever you're doing, and you're a family vacation and you're riding along there, just talk to them and look to steer the conversation toward the Word of God. Here's something you might want to do. Turn the radio off. Or here's something else you might want to do. Leave the radio on and talk about what's coming out of that radio. And if you're listening to country music, you might want to ask them, do we believe that? Is that in the Word of God? Is that true? Is that right? And just so you won't think I'm picking on you, if you're listening to Christian music, you better listen to that too. Because I'm going to tell you, my dear friend, it's wrong to preach bad theology. It's equally wrong to sing bad theology. And there's a lot of thing out there under the term of Christian music that is not biblically sound. And so what he's saying is, as you travel, as you walk along the way, teach these things to your children. I hope you're listening today. Listen to what he also said. He said, and when thou liest down. Well, if one is mealtime and one's traveling time, what is this? Bedtime. When the day is over and it's time to go to bed. Late in the evening, perhaps. You talk about what happened during the day. You talk about the experiences of life. You talk about things that you might have heard, and you steer the conversation toward the Word of God. When thou liest down, and let me say a word to you today, those of you who have teenagers in the room, about the time your eyes are ready to shut, that's when their mouths are ready to open. And if you're shutting their eyes when they want to open your mouth, you're going to miss the opportunity to talk to them. You say, well, I got to go to sleep. I got to get up the next morning. You may lose a little sleep whenever you got teenagers in the house, in more ways than one, all right? So whenever you liest down, he said, that's whenever you teach them well, and you talk to them about what happened during the day. Let me hurriedly wrap this up. He also said, and when thou risest up. Now, you're way ahead of me by now. What does that mean? That's morning time. That's whenever you get up in the morning. That'd be a good time to say, okay, here's the verse for the day. And plant the Word of God into that little boy, that little girl's heart. Teaching them things from the Word of God. That's a good time to say, let's have a word of prayer before you go to school or before you go to work, whatever it might be. When thou risest up. Let me say one other thing. Look at verses 8 and 9. I know it's Father's Day and I'm trying to hurry up, but I've got a lot to say today, and this isn't one of those that I can carry it over to next week, all right? So give me a little bit of leeway here. Verses 8 and 9, he also says, teach the Word of God, teach it conspicuously. Conspicuous means easy to see. That's why he says, bind them for a sign upon thine hand, be as frontlets before thine eyes, write them down on the post and upon the house, on the gates. Notice what he said. He said, number one, put God's Word on your hands. Number two, put God's Word on your head. Number three, put God's Word on your house. Isn't that what he said? He said, put it on your hand. Bind them upon thine hand. You know, the Jewish people had, they had a little box. And inside that box, they would have scripture. And they would have, like, I think I read like four verses of scripture that would be in that box. And then they would take that little box and they would wrap it around their hand. It was a reminder to them all day long that where they went, that whenever they were doing their work, they were thinking about the Word of God. Bind it upon your hand. And then he also said, bind it upon the frontlets of your head. They also had that little box as well, and they would put it on their forehead, and they would have a leather strap that would tie around their head. You probably have heard of the word. They're actually called phylacteries. I'm calling them little boxes, but that's what they are. They have scripture in them. And so bind them upon your head so that as you walk through the world, as you went by day, that you would see things through the lens of the Word of God. And so put them on your hand. Think about the Word of God when you're working. Put it on your head. Think about the Word of God whenever you're looking at the world. And then number three, he said, God's Word on your house. He said, upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. That is, they also had that little box, that little phylactery that they would attach it to the door, and it would have scripture in it. And to this day, if you go to Israel, stay in a hotel, there'll be a little box outside the hotel door, and that'd be the Word of God. And so what he was saying there, as you go along the way in your house, that you have that there that reminds you of the Word of God. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm about to wrap it up, but you need to hear the end of this today, because what he was saying was, if you want to teach your children to have a biblical worldview, how are you going to do that? You need some convictions in your heart about the Word of God and what's right and what's wrong. You need to try to steer every conversation all day long, from the time they get up to the time they go to bed, to the time they sit down at the food table, to the time you're riding in the car, steer it all toward the Word of God. And you need to put some scripture in some conspicuous places in your house. By the way, does your house have a distinctive Christian flavor? Are there some things in your house that would denote it is a Christian that lives in that house? Are there maybe some pictures? Are there maybe some plaques? Are there some things that will let people know when they come into your house that this is a Christian house? Are there some Bible verses on your refrigerator door? Are there maybe some Bible verses on the mirror whenever you get up in the morning? That's what Moses was saying was, he said, Just saturate yourself with the Word of God so that you're giving to yourself and to your children a biblical worldview that lets them know this is the house. We love God. Yes, we do. We love Jesus. How about you? And we love the Word of God. We're teaching it all the time, all day long. Let me just close by saying to you today, and again, I've been trying to talk to men. Manhood is under attack today. It's under attack. It's under attack by feminism, and that's what I alluded to earlier there. We're living in a day where the lines are being blurred between a man and a woman. And we're living in a day when manhood is under attack by feminism. But I'm saying to you again today, men are men and women are women. They're both valuable and they're equal in value. They're different in function. And that's where we're trying to blur the lines today. But what he was saying here, you have a dad has a God-given role, mom has a God-given role, and the family succeeds whenever dad is doing what dad's supposed to do and mom's doing what mom is supposed to do. They are complementary when we do that. And I want to say this to you as well. Manhood is under attack by the entertainment world as well. Again, I hope you don't watch a whole lot of television, but if you do, if you watch particularly what they call situation comedies, most of the time dad is some kind of bumbling buffoon. He's like the dumbest man in all the world. I think that probably goes back all the way to the days of Archie Bunker. That may be where that started. But it's just throwing dad under the bus time after time after time. And I'm going to tell you this, just like the Marine Corps, God is looking for a few good men. God is looking for some men who will be men who love Him with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind. God is looking for some men who will take their responsibility to be the spiritual leader in the home and teach their children the Word of God, to bring them up, as Paul said, in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. God wants you to be the kind of man that will influence your children. Listen to me today, guys, because you're not only going to affect your children, but the kind of man that you are will affect your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. So your influence is going to be felt for years to come. Some of you have heard of a great old preacher by the name of Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards only lived to be 55 years of age. He preached his great sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, when he was 38 years of age. But I want you to listen to the legacy of Jonathan Edwards. This is what I read about him. His descendants include 14 college presidents, 100 college professors, 100 pastors and teachers, 60 doctors, and 100 lawyers and judges. Well, you can't get them all right, so. Just kidding, all right, just kidding. What I'm saying is this, and I'm done. Dad, you matter. Your life matters. Matters to God. It matters to your family, and your influence will be felt for generations to come. And although they're children, if they're small, they may be looking to mom for intimacy and care and nurture. When they look to adopt their values and what kind of person they're going to be, they're going to look at you, Dad. They're going to look at you. And if you're going to leave a godly legacy, then you have to love God. And you have to love God's Word. So whether you like to think about it or not, the children in your home are going to follow in your footsteps. And my suggestion is, you lead them to Jesus. You lead them to church. You lead them to the Word of God. And when all of life is over, you lead them to heaven. You can do it, Dad. But it begins with you saying, I'm giving my heart to Christ. I'm going to love Jesus with everything that I am. And I'm going to do my very best to learn this book. And I'm going to plant it in the hearts of my children. I want to leave a godly legacy. Would you pray with me, please? Now, I know today I've spoken primarily to men, but I hope you have not tuned me out because of that, because maybe you're not a man, you're not a dad. Because what I'm saying goes across the board, it can be applied actually to about everybody. But I'm going to tell you today, the most important thing in your life is your relationship to Jesus Christ. And if you don't know for certain that you have eternal life, then today ought to be your day to say, I'm giving my life to Christ. That's where you start. Maybe you say, I'm a dad. I've been saved. I saw this guy. I saw people get baptized. I've never been baptized. I want to take my public stand for Jesus Christ. Maybe you're a dad here today and you say, yeah, I visit this church. I attend this church. If you'd be real honest, you'd probably say, but I'm not a member of this church. And you may have kids look up at you one day and say, why do you attend, Dad, but you don't join? Why are you not a part of it? Why are you not a member here if you come here all the time? Leave a godly legacy. Let them know what's important to you. Lead them the way they need to be led. Father, we pray today that your Holy Spirit has spoken to hearts in this room. And Lord, I pray that whatever you're asking us to do, that we'll do it today. Father, this is your time right now. I've done a lot of talking, and Lord, we don't need to hear me, but we do need to hear you. So would you please speak to our hearts today? God, say what you want to say. Help us do what you ask us to do. Have your way right now, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join me in standing, please? Our pastors are down here at the altar today. If you say, I've never given my life to Jesus, but I'd like to, come tell one of these men of God about it. You say, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. Come tell one of these men about it. You say, I attend this church, but I'm not a member, but I'd like to be. Come tell one of these men of God about it today. If you say, Dad, man, I want to leave a godly legacy, but I need God's help. This altar's open. Just come. Say, God, help me to be the man that you want me to be. Right now, while we sing, you come on.